Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the NC99 podcast, where we've got 99 cards, because Commander's number one. I'm your Necromancer with all the answers, NecroZach, joined by my lovely friend, Sothy. How you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. We're finally back up in positive temperatures up in Canada, so can't complain. How you doing today?
I'm all right. I got a little bit of some sinus issues going on, so I probably sound really annoying, but guess what? If you're listening to this episode, you get to hear me talk for about an hour, so enjoy. Noticeably, Dan is missing from the podcast today. He's trucking through America as we speak. Maybe not, maybe he is, I don't know, but I'm going to say that because it sounds cool. So while the cat's away, the mice will play, and today I'm bringing you a deck tech that isn't a fake group hug deck. This is all just aggression. Today we're going to be talking about Ishin Two Heavens is One. It's a new Kamigawa commander. But before we get into that, I just want to let you guys know today's episode is partially sponsored by, Abyss Proxy Shop. So our good friend Atomic Ashes actually sent me a bunch of proxies for this deck and they look sick. When the episode goes up, I'll have pictures of the proxies that I'm using in this deck that he made me. If you like the proxies, you want to get some of them for your own deck, or you want to see what other goodies he has, you can go to his shop and you can use the promo code IT99 and you'll get, I believe it's 10% off your first order. It's 10 or 5. I don't have the card in front of me like I normally do because I cleaned and now I regret it. But with that out of the way, let's start talking about the deck. So Ishin, Two Heavens is One, is a Mardu commander, so he's red, white, black. He's a human samurai legendary creature, 3/4, and he reads, if a creature attacking would cause a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. This works if you have creatures attacking that cause something to trigger, or if your opponent's attacking you with creatures, or attacking in general creatures triggers something, this is going to happen. So the whole deck is basically just, like I said, pure aggression. We're going to be doing a lot of attacking or hoping that we can make our opponent attack to cause things of ours to trigger. So getting right into it, we're going to talk about the land base. Typically, we save that for last, but because it's kind of short and there are a few things I want to like specify in this deck, I figured we just get it out of the way. So I'm running a bunch of different utility lands, all the on-color fetches and shocks, and duels. Once again, thanks Atomic Ashes, appreciate it. But the four lands that I think are most important in this utility section are the artifact lands. We have Ancient Den, Vault of Whispers, where's the other guy? Darksteel Citadel, and Great Furnace. So a black, a red, a white, and a colorless. The reason why I think these are so important is because I have a lot of artifact interactions. It cares about how many artifacts we have or how many artifacts that are tapped when a creature is attacking. So these are just going to be setting on the battlefield, just netting us mana and advantage. I'm also running the dual color bridges from Modern Horizons 2. Those are artifact lands that tap for one of our two colors and they have indestructible, but they enter the battlefield tapped. So it's a little bit slower. But with the average CMC being a little bit above 3, I think it's like 3.6, I still feel like it's fine, especially with the ramp package we're running. So keep all those lands in mind, those, what, 7 artifact lands in mind while we're going over this deck. So at the top, we're looking at ramp. Ramp is pretty straightforward. I'm running all the 3 diamonds that are in color, so charcoal being black, fire being red, marble being white. They're 2 cost artifacts that enter the battlefield tapped, and they tap for each, you know, each of the 1 colors respectively. Sothy, you want to take the next couple?
Yeah. So you're also running Mox Opal, zero cost legendary artifact with Metalcraft. You can tap it to add 1 mana of any color, activated only if you control 3 or more artifacts, which from what I've seen in this deck will not be a problem. Mm-hmm. Because you're also running Smothering Tithe, which 3 and white for an enchantment. Whenever an opponent draws a card, that player may pay 2. If that player doesn't, you create a colorless treasure artifact token with sacrifice as artifact and add 1 mana of any color. This both would help activate the Mox Opal, and then in a pinch, you could also just sacrifice them for mana.
Yep. I know it's like people hate Smothering Tide and Rhystic Study, but once again, like I now have a bunch of proxies thanks to Atomic Ashes. And also like for this deck, I don't feel like it's too oppressive because we're in three colors that, you know, isn't green. So the Smothering Tide really helps, but also sometimes I just want to have the artifacts on the battlefield. I'm not even using it for mana. It's mainly just to up my artifact count. You know, maybe it'll turn on my Mox Opal, or maybe it'll just help me play one of my diamonds. You know, it sounds silly, but in Mardu, it just, anything we can do to get more lands or more mana is going to be, you know, important. I'm also running Mox Amber, another zero cost artifact. It's a legendary artifact though, and it can tap for one of any, you add one mana of any color among legendary creatures and planeswalkers you control. So I could tap this for, you know, if I play Ishin, I could tap this for one of my three colors. Running good old Arcane Signet and Sol Ring. It's a commander deck. We really want the mana and we really want the artifacts being on the battlefield. So they're important. Sloth, do you want to take the last two artifacts in this section?
Absolutely. So the last two artifacts, they're both swords. The first one is Sword of Hearth and Home. Three mana artifact equipment with equip two. Equipped creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from green and from white. And whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, exile up to one target creature you own. Then search your library for basic land card, put both cards onto the battlefield under your control, and then shuffle.
So some people would probably say this should be, if I was wanting to be more efficient, this should probably be Feast and Famine so I can untap all my lands. But there, once again, there are a couple creatures in this deck or a couple enchantments in this deck that really care about creatures entering the battlefield or creatures re-triggering their ETBs or even lands coming into play. So we'll talk about those creatures and I'll reference them when they come back up. But keep in mind, this is another card that through the game, if you get it and we have the right like kind of package on board, this is going to generate so much mana, or not mana, sorry, value in general.
And speaking of value, Sword of the Animist is the next one there. It's a 2-mana legendary artifact equipment with equip 2. Equipped creature gets +1/+1, and whenever equipped creature attacks, you may search your library for basic land card, put it onto the battlefield tapped, and then shuffle.
Yeah, it's really good in this deck.
Yeah.
You know, netting, because if we have Ishin out, we're netting 2 lands off of 4 mana, essentially. That's
not bad.
Like, if the dream would be, like, play our commander and then play sword and equip the next turn and then get 2 lands off of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. There are probably better. I could probably do better than that, but that would just be like the run of the mill. Like, this is nice. I enjoy this. So that's our ramp package. It's pretty short and sweet. It's got some cool stuff in it. I was very happy with what I came up with. We're going to move over to our interaction section. In here, we're going to have things that like just interact with the board or with the board state in general, whether it be removal or reanimation or just, you know, protection in general. So at the top of the list is Blasphemous Act. It's probably my second or third favorite red card. And I got the really cool, the horror movie art from the Secret Lair drop that came out a couple months ago. So if you don't know, Blasphemous Act is a sorcery. It costs 1 less to cast for each creature on the battlefield. And it's 8 colorless, 1 red. And 13 damage each creature. It's just solid. It's very good removal. Unless creatures have like indestructible, this is going to clear the board.
Yeah. And next one here is Boros Charm. Red and white for an instant. You can choose one. Boros Charm deals 4 damage to target player or planeswalker. Permanence you control gain indestructible until end of turn. And target creature gains double strike until end of turn.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I remember I was playing a game over spell table probably about 5 or 6 months ago, and the guy I was against had a card, I forget what it was called, but it let him like flip the top card of my library and then he could cast that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at exactly 4 life and it was us two, and then I was like, oh please don't be Boros Charm, then it flips and it's Boros Charm.
Nice. Yeah, every mode on this card is relevant. The 4 damage to either player or planeswalker is. Typically, you're probably going to pick the second. Permanent you control, gain indestructible until end of turn. Like I was just talking about Blasphemous Act before. Like going Blasphemous Act for 1 and then Boros Charm for 2. Yeah, that's very reasonable. And even the double strike, if that can just end the game. If we get a lot of like fun things going on with Ishin, like he could probably kill someone very easily.
Oh, definitely.
Next on the list is probably one of my favorite cards that's came out of the most recent one of the most recent standard sets. It's Cosmic Intervention. Well, it wasn't even standard. It was the Commander decks. I'm a dummy. It's Cosmic Intervention. It's 3 and a white for an instant. If a permanent you control would be put into a graveyard from the battlefield this turn, exile it instead. Return it to the battlefield under the owner's control at the beginning of the next end step, and you can foretell it for 1 and a white. I love this card. You can use it in so many different ways. If you're sacrificing your own creatures, you can Cosmic Intervention, sacrifice your creatures to like an Ashnod's Altar or something like that, and then they'll come back and you literally don't lose anything. There's a lot of really fun things and interesting things you can do with this, but I'm mainly using it in this deck as protection. Once I get a couple of like my pieces on the board, people are not going to want it to want them to stick around. So being able to like reset the board with a board wipe and my stuff come back, so like people are wasting cards, is going to be super, super relevant.
And this is also good if you've got the mana to pair with Blasphemous Act too.
Yeah. And most cases, honestly, Blasphemous Act is going to be 1 red. So for 5 mana, you could potentially reset the board except for your stuff. It becomes like a one-sided board wipe. Or I'm sorry, it becomes like a, one-sided board wipe.
Mm-hmm. So next up, we've got Fracture, white and a black for an instant, destroy target artifact, enchantment, or planeswalker.
Yeah, once again, just solid removal. Like, we're probably the best removal colors in the game. Fracture, normally I would run something like Crush Contraband, but I don't really care if things get exiled in this deck. Like, I'd rather just destroy them for cheaper mana cost than just exile them. Give any kind of advantage to my opponents. Next on the list is Ghostly Prison. It's 2 and a white for an enchantment. Creatures can't attack you unless their controller pays 2 for each creature they control that's attacking you. This is really, really good in this deck. I'm running a bunch of different enchantments, this obviously is one of them that's going to add to my list of enchantments to make my creatures bigger or just add bonuses, but this is just silly. Because it's going to stack with, I believe it does stack with my commander. So it's just going to tax people out of attacking me, which is nice. I want other people to attack other people.
Exactly.
So I can do whatever I want.
Next up is Ruinous Ultimatum. 2 red, 3 white, and 2 black for sorcery. Destroy all non-land permanents your opponents control.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Like I said, best colors, best removal colors for sure. I'd be remiss if I didn't put this in a deck that has black in it. I'm playing Phyrexian Reclamation. 1 black for an enchantment. 1 and a black, pay 2 life, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. I play this card in almost every black deck. I love it.
Good card.
People are going to remove my creatures, and there are a lot of creatures in this deck that I want to be able to recast and have stay on the battlefield.
Yeah. Next one up is Terminate. Black and a red for an instant, destroy target creature. It can't be regenerated.
This could probably be something different, but I don't care.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's got the cool Sun Titan art. It's fine.
It's fine.
So last card in this section is Vandal Blast. 1 red for a sorcery, destroy target artifact you don't control, or you can overload it for 4 and a red.
Very good card.
It's very good. Yeah. So that's my interaction section. Next, we're going to move on to card draw. I really, really like this section. There's a lot of very fun cards I get to use because of how this deck plays. At the very top of the list, you want to go ahead and take that card, Slothy?
Yep. I think I've got a different list than you. There's only 1 card for card draw.
Oh, my goodness. Try refreshing it real quick.
Yeah. Nope, still just the one. Still Kiri.
Okay. Well, then if you want to read that one, I'll just bang out the rest.
Absolutely. So we've got Akiri, Fierce Voyager, 1 red and a white for legendary creature, Core Warrior, 3/3. Whenever you attack a player with one or more equipped creatures, draw a card, and you can pay white, and you may unattach an equipment from a creature you control. If you do, tap that creature and it gains indestructible until end of turn. Very, very good.
Right. There is not as many in equipment as I could be running in this deck, and it's definitely, like, this could be something else, but it's just very powerful for what... It does, because all I need it to do is set on the battlefield, honestly. And if I attack, like, imagine having Sword of the Animus attached to one of my creatures, having Ishin and Akiri out, so attacking, getting two lands, and drawing two cards.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, Akiri was one that I put in Wyleth as well for pretty much the same purpose, just kind of sitting there.
Yeah, it's super powerful. And for 3 mana and Mardu to get me more card draw without like any kind of restrictions is nice. But I do get to run the cards in red that I love for drawing. So the first one is Cathartic Reunion, 1 in a red for a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast this spell, discard 2 cards. You draw 3 cards. I don't mind to discard cards ever. I love looting, so we're good. Faithless Looting's the almost exact same thing. It's 1 red for a sorcery, draw 2 cards, discard 2 cards, and flashback for 2 in a red. We have Faithless Salvaging, 1 in red for an instant. You discard a card, draw a card, and it has rebound. So it'll happen again at the beginning of your upkeep. This next card, I'm super excited about because we can't play the creature version of it because it's banned, but the artifact version isn't. We have Mask of Grizzlebrand, 1 double black for a legendary artifact equipment. It equips for 3. Equipped creature has flying and lifelink. Whenever equipped creature dies, you may pay X life, where X is its power. If you do, draw X cards. Ooh, it's very powerful. Like, Grizzlebrand is banned. Yeah. So, like, you get almost all the good stuff from Grizzlebrand, except the actual, you know, creature. You still have to go through a little bit more of a hassle, but it's totally worth it, I think.
Yeah,
definitely. Go ahead.
I think I found it.
Okay.
Next one up is Morbid Curiosity. 1 and 2 black for a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast a spell, sacrifice an artifact or a creature. Draw cards equal to the converted mana cost of the sacrifice permanent.
It's real good. You can pair it with Mask of Grizzlebrand to attack someone for, you know, maybe 6. Use Morbid Curiosity on the creature. Pay 6 life, draw 6 cards. Spend 3 mana.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, I was really excited with that interaction. I really like this card. I wish it was a sorcery. I mean, not sorcery, an instant. I wish it wasn't sorcery speed, but it's still very good.
Yeah, definitely.
Next, we have Read the Bones. It's 2 and a black for a sorcery. You scry 2, draw 2, lose 2. I love Read the Bones so much.
Yeah, pretty solid. Next up is Thrill of Possibility. 1 in a red for an instant. As an additional cost to cast a spell, discard a card and draw 2 cards.
Like I said, I love looting. I love looting so much.
Absolutely.
This next card, I'm surprised, isn't played more than what it is. It's Tome of Legends. It's 2 for an artifact. It enters the battlefield with a page counter on it. Whenever your commander enters the battlefield or attacks, put a page counter on Tome of Legends. You can pay 1, tap it, remove a page counter from Tome of Legends, and draw a card. In this deck, it's so powerful because your commander is going to put 2 counters on it every time it attacks.
Yeah.
And it's very worthwhile to note that you have to pay the 1 to tap it. While that seems like a drawback in other decks because you can't like abuse it as much, in this deck, the having tapped artifacts is very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to take the last one?
Absolutely. So the next one up is Tormenting Voice. 1 in a red for a sorcery. Has an additional cost to cast a spell, discard a card, and then draw 2. And the last one, Village Rites, black for an instant, has additional cost to cast a spell, sacrifice a creature, and draw 2.
Love that.
Very, very good card.
Village Rites is probably... No, I can't say that because it's... So many black cards are my favorite. It's really, really hard to just put that into words. It's like picking your favorite child, you know?
Fair enough.
Okay. So now we're going to move on to the largest section in the deck. I refer to it as attacking triggers because this is an amalgamation of creatures, enchantments, artifacts. There's a lot going on here, but this is the bread and butter. This is what the deck is about. These are the creatures and stuff you want to be playing, and you are going to get a ton of value out of them. So at the very top of the list, we have Alabu, Ancient Witness. 3 red and a white for a 4/5 legendary artifact creature, Golem. Other artifact creatures you control have haste. Whenever one or more artifact creatures you control attack, Alabu Ancient Witness deals X damage to any target, and you scry X, where X is the number of tapped artifacts you control. This is what I was saying was so important about having tapped artifacts, because this is going to trigger twice, and it's going to be massive.
Yeah.
That's a lot of damage that you can put at someone. When I last counted, I could be off because I just did it quickly, but I think I could potentially have 18 to 20 tapped artifacts, and seven of them are lands. So that's not hard to get those lands. And then being able to scry that many, it's almost like a tutor, because you're probably going to find what you want.
Yes, sir. Searching through a fifth of your deck, you're going to find something that's appealing.
Exactly. And the damage, is just insane, and it's any target, planeswalker, creature, player.
Yeah, basically just picking what's the biggest nuisance on the board at any given time and just
rid of it. This is a Dan threatening card, right? Like, hey, leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, you want to take the next one?
Yeah. So the next one is Archon of Cruelty. It's a 6/6 creature Archon for 6 double black with flying. Whenever Archon of Cruelty enters the battlefield or attacks, target opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker, discards a card, and loses 3 life. You draw a card and gain 3 life. Triggering that twice is, once again, Dan level.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. And it's so good. It's basically a better Titan, right? This is what you want. You want to be able to play Archon of Cruelty with Ishan out and then just smack people. Like, could you imagine just having Archon out with Sword of the Animus equipped?
Two lands, 2 cards, gains 6 life. Target opponent loses 6 life, sacrifices 2 creatures or planeswalkers, discards 2 cards.
Like, that's not unreasonable to have happen. That's not an unreasonable board state whatsoever.
No. No. Maybe that's the problem, though.
Probably. You know what's not the problem? Definitely the next card. Aurelia, the War Leader. It's not a problem.
No.
2 double red, double white, 3/4, legendary creature, angel. Flying, vigilance, haste. Whenever Aurelia, the War Leader, attacks for the first time each turn, untap all creatures you control. After this phase, there's an additional combat phase.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
pretty solid.
I'm fairly positive it triggers twice, but I'm not entirely sure. But it is the first time, so I'm assuming that gets me two combat steps.
Yeah, I think that should work.
Oh wait, no, would it be 3? It'd be 3 combat steps. It'd have the additional, the one you start, you attack, you get 1, and then Ishan will see it and we'll get 2. So we'll have 3.
Yeah. Yeah. two additional combat steps. So
basically Archon just kills someone.
Yeah.
Love it. This is not a pretend group hug deck. This is an aggressive deck. I said that at the beginning. I'm honest. At least you know.
Fair enough. Next one here is Brina the Demagogue, a 1/3 legendary creature, bird warlock for 1, a white and a black with flying. Whenever a player attacks one of your opponents, if that opponent has more life than another of your opponents, that attacking player draws a card and you put 2+1/+1 counters on a creature you control.
How sick is that?
Group hug, encouraging people to attack each other.
Yes.
And not.
All right. Because I believe the opponent would get to draw 2 cards, right?
Yes. It would trigger it twice.
See? That's at least a nice card. I'm not pretending to be group hug, but that's a nice card. But 4+1/+1 counters on something? Yes. That's what we want.
Yeah. Not bad.
Next, we have Bruce Tarl, Boorish Herder. 2, a red and white for a legendary creature, human ally, 3/3. Whenever Bruce Tarl, Boorish Herder ETBs or attacks, target creature you control gains double strike and lifelink until end of turn.
A good way to give multiple of your creatures double strike and lifelink.
Very, very solid. Yeah. I'm just gonna, you know, kill someone, essentially. Yeah, this deck exactly. This deck is probably just gonna hurt people, like, a lot.
Makes sense. So, next one up is Brutal Horde Chief, 3/3 Orc Warrior for 3 and a black. Whenever a creature you control attacks, defending player loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. And it's got 3 hybrid Boros. Creatures your opponents control block this turn if able, and you choose how those creatures block.
So this probably, the whenever a creature you control attacks, or whenever a creature your opponent control attacks, like, those lines of text are my favorite in this deck. So we're going to start seeing them a lot more as we move on. Yeah. But Brutal, I think a lot of people were in the same boat as me, wishing Brutal Horde Chief was a legendary creature, because he's already super sick on his own. So to pair him with Ishin, it's just like, it's a great match. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
All right, next card is super spicy, and I'm pumped that I was able to fit it in here. It's Coastline Marauders. It's 2 and a red for a human pirate, 0/3. It has trample. Doesn't sound great, I know. Whenever Coastline Marauders attacks, it gets +1/+0 until the end of the turn for each land defending player controls. And then it encores for 4 red.
Yeah. That's mean.
That's nutty. All right, Mr. Green player. Okay, Dan playing Multani. Oh, you've got 30 lands? Dope. Coastline Marauders attack. He's now a 63. Oh, you're dead? You can't block that?
What?
Yeah, Coastline Marauders is so cool. And the encore is also insane, because it could potentially just kill the table with Ishin out. Yeah. Like, that's not, once again, not unreasonable. If it doesn't kill the table, it could do a massive amount of damage. This card followed up after a board wipe could be just, lethal. Like I said, yeah, it could just win the game.
Next one up is Drawn of the Last Blood Chief, a 4/4 legendary creature vampire cleric for 3 double black. It's got flying. Whenever Drawn of the Last Blood Chief attacks, defending player chooses a non-legendary creature card in your graveyard. You return that card to the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it, and that creature is a vampire in addition to his other types.
I love this card. I had to put reanimation in here somewhere, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
And a lot of our creatures that are good are non-legendary. Like, what if they just give you back a Coastline Marauders? Like, that doesn't seem bad. And suddenly it's a 1/4.
Yeah.
Those stats don't seem that impressive, but still, like, you get to a point where they're going to give you back something that they're going to regret later on, which is sweet.
Like a Brutal Horde Chief.
Exactly. Well, you know, we'll show Wizards, this is what you get for not making this guy legendary.
Exactly.
So this will be the first non-creature in this section. It's Duelist Heritage. It's 2 and a white for an enchantment. Whenever one or more creatures attack, you may have target attacking creature gain double strike until end of the turn. This card is super sweet, because not only can you do it on your turn, but you can do it on your opponent's turns. So maybe you just want to whittle the table down so you can, you know, Coastline Marauder them to death, or Brutal Horde Chief them to death, or something else stupid. This can do that very easily.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's an enchantment, which is going to help Ghostly Prison out. Or not Ghostly Prison, goodness. I'm thinking of something different. Never mind. Forget I said that.
Next.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Duh.
Next up is one of my favorite cards. Tali Primal Storm, 6/6 Elder Dinosaur for 4 double red. It's a legendary creature. Whenever Tali Primal Storm attacks, exile the top card of each player's library, then you may cast any number of spells from among those cards without paying their mana cost.
You know what's better than this happening once?
This happening twice.
I love it. You guys hated my Negan deck? Well, you're not going to like this deck. Yeah, this Atali's sick anyways, like you said, but being able to do it twice is just so, so brutal.
Yeah.
Next card on the list, Exes Orak Overlord. 1 white, double black, legendary creature, human warlock, 2/4. It has double strike, then it has Magecraft. Whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell, return target non-legendary creature card from your graveyard to your hand. So with a lot of our looting effects, if this is on the battlefield, tight.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, I'm going to pitch this creature to draw 2 cards and get this creature back if it's non-legendary. But the backside is really what we're here for. The front side is just nice. The backside is Awaken the Blood Avatar. 6 black red for a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast a spell, you may sacrifice any number of creatures. This spell costs 2 less to cast for each creature sacrificed this way. Each opponent sacrifices a creature. Create a 3/6 black and red avatar creature token with haste, and whenever this creature attacks, it deals 3 damage to each opponent.
Yikes.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Once again, it has that line of text that I really like that we saw in Brutal Horde Chief. Like, but this one's doing 3, which would, if Ishan's out, 6 to each opponent.
Yep.
That is so much damage for one attack. And 3/6, like, you could probably block him, but there's a good chance you're not going to kill the token.
Yeah, no.
All right. I'm done gushing over that card. It's sick. I'm so happy I could put it in this deck. You want to carry on with the next sweet, spicy card?
Absolutely. So the next one is Fathom Fleet Swordjack, 4/3 Orc Pirate for 3 and a red. Whenever Fathom Fleet Swordjack attacks, it deals damage to the player or planeswalker it's attacking equal to the number of artifacts you control, and it's got Encore for 5 and a red. This can be very, very bad.
This could just kill the table again. Yeah. We have some other ways to generate a massive amount of artifacts that we're going to get to in a little bit. But another, like, this could easily... What if someone, you know, you got your mono blue player, probably playing artifacts. You know, there are a lot of... I mean, artifacts are a very popular thing in Commander. Like, Fathom Fleet Swordjack can just kill someone.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't even have to deal damage. It's just on attack.
Yeah, it's on attack trigger, then it'll go twice and...
Love it.
Yeah.
Next card is actually shot up in price because of this deck. It's Fervent Charge. It's one, a white, a black, a red for an enchantment. Whenever a creature you control attacks, it gets +2/+2 till end of turn. Blood Avatar getting +2/+2 and then an additional +2/+2. So +4/+4. And it was a 3/6. Oh, I'm going to block it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's a 10 now. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine.
At least you're not pretending.
No, I said from the beginning, this is an aggressive deck. Where when you guys see what the proxy is, like, because I specifically asked Atomic Ashes if he could please make me this specific anime character as Ishan. I'm not going to tell you guys who it is. I'm going to post it on Instagram, so you guys will have to go look. But when you see who it is, you'll be like, oh, I understand why this deck is just like pure power. And, like, all these fireworks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we've got Hellrider, a 3/3 double for 2 double red with haste. Whenever a creature you control attacks, Hellrider deals 1 damage to the player or planeswalker it's attacking.
Cool. We're doing 2 damage. Like,
Yeah. Two whole damage.
It's really cool because this deck almost feels like an aristocrat-style deck without it being an aristocrat-style deck, right? Like, I can just... glass cannon someone very easily, or these little bits of damage that you would normally see just skyrocket, right? 4 damage, 2 damage, you know, an extra 2 damage here. If I get a couple of these guys on the battlefield at the same time and I just move to combat, we could be looking at 4 to 6 damage just off attacking with one creature. That's massive.
Yeah.
I can't stress how big this deck gets. Yeah. Speaking of big, we have Ilrog the Raised Boar. 3 double red for a legendary creature, Boar God, 6/6, trample. Whenever Ilrog Boar God attacks, you may put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. Return this creature to your hand at the beginning of the next end step. Whenever Ilrog the Raised Boar dies or is put into exile from the battlefield, you may put it into its owner's library, 3rd from the top. Two creatures for free. I hope I see Ilrog and Archon in the same hand. That's... Oof.
I don't hope you see that.
Mm.
If we're playing against each other.
But you do, because it's sick.
Yeah, that's true.
Look,
that's
true. I give credit where credit's due. I might not like what's happening, but I'll admit when something's sweet.
Yeah, that's fair. Next up, we've got Inferno Titan. 4 double red for a 6/6 giant. You can pay red to give it +1/+0 to end a turn, and then whenever Inferno Titan enters the battlefield or attacks, it deals 3 damage divided as you choose among 1, 2, or 3 targets.
You mean 6 damage?
Yeah, 6.
Once again, these little points of damage get so, like, everything's times 2. It's just absurd. Like, I don't think this commander is ban worthy, but it's very strong, and I think a lot of people are overlooking it.
Absolutely.
Next, we have Carter, Doomscourge. 2 black red for a 4/3 legendary creature, Demon Berserker. When Carter, Doomscourge ETBs until your next turn, creatures your opponents control attack each combat if able and attack a player other than you if able. This is a situation where Duelist Heritage is super powerful because you just force these attacks. So you can just set it up. Cool. Duelist Heritage on this guy and this guy. All right. Now my other opponents, Duelist Heritage on these two guys. And you're just sitting there hanging out. And you have all these great attack triggers that are happening. But there's still another line of text. Whenever an attacking creature dies, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You're forcing these attacks, you're duelist heritaging things, you're gaining 2 life, your opponent loses 2 life, or your opponents lose 2 life. It's chef's kiss. I can't do it because it sounds weird over the thing, but chef's kiss for sure.
Next up, we've got Lelia, the Blade Reforged, 2 and a red for a legendary creature, Spirit Warrior, 2/2 with haste. Whenever Lelia, the Blade Reforged attacks, exile the top card of your library, you may play that card this turn. And whenever you exile one or more cards from your library and or your graveyard, put a +1/+1 counter on Lelia. Sorry, I meant exile the top 2 cards of your library.
Exactly. Dude, Lelia is sick in this deck. I was going through my cards and I found the Lorehold Commander deck, and there was a couple cards I didn't use from it, and I felt like they just slotted into this deck super, super well. This is one of those, like, I just have access to the top 2 cards in my library, and I can play them, so if I'm desperately searching for a land, because I'm running a little bit less land than what I normally do, I might be able to hit it after 2 cards, and that's very reasonable. Mm-hmm. And the haste is just nice. She also gets massive.
Big.
Yeah. Next, we have Marchesa's Decree. It's 3 and a black for an enchantment. When it ETBs, you become the Monarch, also helping with card draw. And there's a good chance we're just going to get to keep the Monarchy, if I'm being honest. Whenever a creature attacks you or a Planeswalker you control, that creature's controller loses 1 life. And because this is an attack trigger, they're going to lose 2 life for attacking me.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you want the Monarchy that bad, you're going to have to fight for it.
Exactly. I have to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's fine. I'll just finish out the deck list.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye. Well, Dan, if you're listening to that, this was awkward. We're almost finished. Oh, well. So next on the list is Mirror Battlesphere. It's 7 costs for an artifact creature, Mirror Contract, 4/7. When it ETBs, you create 4/1/1 colors Mirror Creature Artifact Tokens. Very solid. But the big thing is whenever it attacks, you may tap X, untap mirror you control. If you do, Mirror Battlefield gets +X/+0 until end of turn and deals X damage to each player, to the player or planeswalker it's attacking. I stumbled over this so badly because of how powerful this is in this deck. We have Alibu who's going to see this and it's going to cause a lot of very bad things to happen. And we're going to have Ishan seeing this. It's going to be huge. These mirror are just going to come out of nowhere and turn into this giant ball that's even larger than what it normally is. It's very powerful. This deck is also very cool because I get to play cards that you might not normally play because they're not as good as they could be, but in this deck being able to double the triggers makes them just too hard to pass up. Parhelion 2 is one of those cards. It's 6 double white for a legendary artifact vehicle 5/5. It has flying, first strike, and vigilance. But the big thing is when it attacks, you create 2/4/4 white angel creature tokens with flying and vigilance that are attacking. But because of this, we're going to create 4 of those. That's huge. And they don't leave at the end of the turn, or they don't leave at the end of the combat. You just get to keep them. That's, gosh, I can't get over how powerful this is. And if you really want to, you could attack, you could tap Ishan and attack with Parhelion. So you're not losing out on attacking with a single creature or not attacking with one of your big creatures that you'd like to. And with so many creatures that have that like aristocrats feel, you can even tap them so you don't lose them. So you can keep netting that value over time. This card, I'm still like on the fence. I really like this card and I wanted a deck to put it in. I'm just not sure if this is the right deck or not, but it's Port Razor. 3 red for a 4/4 Orc Pirate. When Port Razor deals combat damage to a player, untap each creature you control. After this combat, there's additional combat phase. Port Razor can't attack a player that has already attacked this turn. So we can potentially get to attack each player and set up a bunch of really, really crazy like lines of play that we might not normally get to and could potentially just win the game off of just this single card, depending on how, you know, okay our board state is, because I don't think it really takes a lot to get there. So this isn't necessarily an on-attack trigger, but I wanted to put it in this section because so many of our other things are going to get to trigger off of getting to attack an additional time, next, we have Rakasha Debaser. It's 4 red for a Cat Demon 6/6. When it attacks, you put target creature card from defending player's graveyard onto the battlefield under your control, and it encores for 6 red. This lets us take whatever we want out of people's graveyards twice. Like, I'm not necessarily reanimating, but it sure feels like I'm reanimating, and that's good enough for me. We move on to Revenge of Ravens. It's 3 red for an enchantment. Whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, that creature's player loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. Still that same line of text. We're going to compound this over many different things, and this is going to be 2 damage and 2 life that we're gaining, essentially, because there's going to be 2 different instances of this. I really like this card. It's a little bit heavy on the CMC, but I think it's worth it for just getting to nickel and dime people. This next card is a new one that I'm pretty excited to play with. It's Search the Premises. It's 3 white for an enchantment. Whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, you investigate. So you get to create a colorless clue artifact token. We really, like, getting to draw a card for 2 is going to be really useful in this deck, but also just netting so many artifacts that are just sitting on the battlefield. It's going to make our Alibu, like, potentially be able to get big. I mean, we have to sacrifice them, so I guess they won't stick around. But just the potential of making a couple of our different creatures that care about artifacts large, very good. So we're playing Inferno Titan, so we got to be playing Sun Titan. 4 red for a 6/6 giant with vigilance. When it enters the battlefield or attacks, you can return target permanent card with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. So basically, this is saying every time you attack with him, you get to just reanimate a permanent with 3 CMC or less. Super, super good. Moving on to Tectonic Giant. Jesus. 2 red for an Elemental Giant. It's a 3/4. And when it attacks or becomes a target of a spell an opponent controls, you choose one. It deals 3 damage to each opponent, or you exile the top 2 cards of your library. Choose one of them. Until the end of your next turn, you may play that card. So we're either going to get card draw when it attacks, or we're going to do 6 damage to each opponent when it attacks or becomes a target of a spell ability. We don't really care because you're not going to get 6 that way. You're going to get 6 from it attacking, and that's massive. All right, so the last 2 cards in this section are actually brand new cards from the Kamigawa set. We have the first one is Thundering Raiju. It's 2 red for a spirit with a haste, and it's a 3/3. Whenever Thundering Raiju attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. Then Thundering Raiju deals X damage to each opponent, where X is the number of modified creatures you control other than Thundering Raiju. So right now, it doesn't sound like we're going to have a lot of creatures because we've only seen a couple of things that are going to modify, but we still have a few other things to get into that are going to really help this get massive and do a lot of damage. On its own, we're going to at least be able to put 2 +1/+1 counters on something, and we're going to get to deal a good amount of damage. Thundering Raiju is very powerful in this deck. And the last one is Unforgiving One. It's 2 black for a spirit, 2/3 with menace. And whenever Unforgiving One attacks, return target creature card with mana value X or less from the graveyard to the battlefield, where X is the number of modified creatures you control. Once again, this sounds like we're not going to be able to do a lot with this card, but I promise you it's going to get us some, like, at the end of the like game, this is going to be able to get us back so many big things. That's the end of our attacking trigger section. The last one to go over is our utility section. At the very top of the list, we have Brave the Sands. It's 1 white for an enchantment. Creatures you control have vigilance. With so many, with us wanting so many attack triggers and so many combat steps, we really want to have the ability to have our creatures untapped and the crackback is probably going to be very real in this deck. So we don't want to give our, you know, opponents the opportunity to kill us before we can kill them. And it also says each creature you control can block an additional creature each combat. That's also very relevant because if they're trying to kill us, we got to be able to double up on those blocks. So we come to one of the cards that I've kind of been hinting at all game that really cares about how many artifacts we control. It's Bronze Guardian. It's 4 and a white for an artifact creature golem. It's star and 5. It has double strike. It has ward 2. Other artifacts you control have ward 2. And then its power is equal to the number of artifacts you control. This thing is going to be huge. We have so many different ways to generate artifacts. And it having double strike, if we're able to get this unblockable, which we have a couple ways to do that in our land section, or trample, for example, this is probably going to be able to kill or maim someone in the game very easily. Next card's Cathar's Crusade. This is how we're going to get so many of our modified creatures, is because of this card. It's 3 double white for an enchantment. Whenever a creature enters a battlefield under your control, you put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. So being able to use Sword of Hearth and Home, like we talked about earlier, to bring a creature, you know, basically blink a creature, this is going to trigger. All these creatures are going to get, all of our creatures are going to get super big, super quick, and just make everyone's day unpleasant. Except for us, we're going to have a good time. Another card that is really going to shine, I guess mid to late game, is Cranial Plating. It's 2 for an artifact equipment, so this will be able to make one of our creatures modified, which is relevant. Equipped creature gets +1/+0 for each artifact you control, and then you can pay double black to attach a Cranial Plating and target creature you control, and then it equips for 1. We could just kill someone with this card. You know, if we've been making, you know, treasures, or we've been making clue tokens and not using them, Cranial Plating could potentially just kill someone. We have good old Demonic Tutor for, you know, to find whatever card we want and put in our hand for 1 and a black at sorcery speed. We have Kiki Jiki Mirror Breaker, 2 triple red for a legendary creature, Goblin Shaman 2/2. It has haste. You can tap it to create a token that's a copy of target non-legendary creature you control, except it has haste. You sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. You know, maybe we want another Archon, which we probably always want another Archon, or Brutal Horde Chief, Coastline Marauders. Like, there are just so many creatures that we could make copies of that this card is just too good not to use. The last card on the list that is, I think, really slept on for builds and just fits way too well in this deck is Togo, Goblin Weaponsmith. It's 2 and a red for a legendary creature, Goblin Artificer, not relevant, 2/2. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you create a colorless equipment artifact token named Rock. With equipped creature has 1 tap, sacrifice Rock. This creature deals 2 damage to any target and equip 1. And it has partner. We're not partnering it with anything. This is mainly in here just so we can get more artifacts. You could probably take this card out, but I just think it's way too good not to use. Being able to generate a ton of artifacts, or Bronze Guardian gets bigger, or Cranial Plating gets bigger, or, you know, we figure out a way to tap the artifacts with Alibu to make, you know, scry a ton, do a ton of damage. The uses are just, like, there's just too many not to use. And that's the deck. I think it's very powerful. I think it's very fast, and I think it's a lot of fun. Your opponents probably are not going to like this deck, but I think it's fine. I don't think it's overpowered by any means. I think it's just very strong. I typically build with synergy in mind, so this deck, I think, just oozes synergy. There are a lot of, like, cards that I'm sure you're going to be able to find on EDH Rec that are saying to play, or to play instead of some of the cards I'm playing, and that's fine. These are just the cards I had on hand that I really enjoyed. So that's where we're at. If you like the deck, please let me know if there's something you would play differently, or there's just something you didn't understand interaction-wise that I'm playing. Let us know. I'd love to hear what you think about it. And keep an eye out on our Instagram at Into99, because I will be posting the proxies that I got from Atomic Ashes, so you can see the cool cards that I'm using that he gave me art for, which, once again, man, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to follow us at Into99 on literally anything, whether it be Spotify, whether it be Instagram or Twitter. We're out there. If you want to continue the conversation further, you can join our Discord. We always have people in there talking about new sets, cards, commander decks, looking for games. It's a very good community that's thriving, and we'd love to have you there. If you're listening to us on Spotify, please give us a rating. A 5-star rating would be much appreciated. But don't just rate us, also review. Write a review if you can, please. We would really appreciate it, because that's going to put us up for people to see and interact with us more. And if you want to buy merch or just like read articles from other people in the community that like us or write with us or for us, we have insta99.com. It's your one-stop shop for everything that I probably missed. I think that's it. Sorry for all the stumbling. Like I said, I'm still getting over like these allergies, so it's making me a little loopy. But I hope you guys are doing well. Have a good rest of your day.